Taking a positive, pro-Israel stance, that's a hard ask today. By Paul Angel. We here at American Free Press are never hesitant to share criticisms of the newspaper, truly and honestly, with our readers. For instance, in the last issue of AFP, this personal was based on a SCATH-ING letter we received about an anti-Putin advertisement we ran. This issue, I'd like to share another letter. It comes from thoughtful AFP subscriber Alan Shipp in Ohio. Mr. Shipp says, I have decided to not renew my subscription to American Free Press. While it served the purpose of my political views, I have noticed that the writers of AFP have a strong anti-Israel stance. You probably know that this isn't the first letter of its kind I have received from a subscriber who wants to cancel a subscription because he or she believes AFP is standing on the wrong side of the battle lines drawn between the armies of the chosen ones and the non-chosen ones. But I cannot disagree with Mr. Shipp that many AFP writers take a strong anti-Israel stance. And, yes, so do I, and I believe it is currently quite justified to do so. This message is a difficult one to hear for many conservative Christians today, who may or may not be aware of the history of the State of Israel in the modern era. After all, nearly all conservative and populist news outlets besides AFP adopt a pro-Israel outlook. Why? It's safe to do so. There are a few U.S. politicians who dare to speak out about the U.S.-Israel special relationship and the many dangers we, as Americans, inherit with that alliance. Those few dissenters are quieted quickly for fear of the anti-Semitic branding that comes with any public criticism of Israel. In reality, this special relationship is never to the advantage of the American people. Our special relationship with Israel is more like a bad marriage, one where a quick divorce would have offered the most sensical solution. But this bad marriage plods on, one partner a leech and the other too timid to file divorce paperwork. Honestly, AFP's anti-Israel stance has been forged by the brutal truth. 1948, Israel is founded. Almost immediately, 700,000 or more Palestinians are evicted from their homes to make way for Jewish squatters. 1948, 800 Arab civilians and prisoners of war are killed by Israelis in 24 various mass killings. 1952, Beit Jela massacre. Israeli forces blow up three homes, killing innocent civilians in retaliation for the alleged rape of a Jewish woman. 1953, Burij refugee camp massacre. Carried out by future Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon. His Unit 101 kills 20 civilians by throwing bombs into refugee homes while the inhabitants slept. Those who tried to flee were gunned down. 1953, Qibya massacre. Here I will quote directly from Wikipedia. On October 14, 1953, Ariel Sharon and his forces carried out a massacre in the village of Qibya, killing 69 villagers, two-thirds of them women and children. In addition to that, they destroyed 45 houses, a school, and a mosque. Ariel Sharon wrote in his diary that Qibya was to be an example for everyone, and that he ordered maximal killing and damage to property. Post-operational reports speak of breaking into houses and clearing them with grenades and shooting into the houses. The attack was condemned internationally, with the Mixed Armistice Commission calling it cold-blooded murder. Britain and the United States also denounced the attack, with the U.S. State Department saying that those responsible should be brought to account. I will run out of space if I describe every Israeli massacre of Palestinian civilians, or all acts of Israeli perfidy, so I offer here just a small sampling. 1954, Nahalan massacre. 1954, Levon affair. This was a failed attempt by Israeli-recruited agents to plant bombs inside Western-owned businesses in Egypt and blame any ensuing carnage on the Muslim Brotherhood. 1956, Suez Crisis massacres. 1956, Kafr Qassim massacre. 1956, Khan Yunis massacre. 1956, Rafah massacre. 1967, killing of Egyptian POWs. 1967, June 8, Israel attacks the U.S. intelligence gathering vessel USS Liberty in international waters in the Mediterranean. The ship was strafed, hit with rocket fire, napalmed, and suffered a direct torpedo hit. Israeli forces made sure the life rafts were riddled with holes and all escape hatches were blasted shut. Before the attack, at least one Israeli pilot waved to members of the Liberty crew as he flew overhead. More than 170 American men were severely injured and 34 killed. This was no accident. It was a deliberate, in-your-face attack. Skipping dozens more Israeli massacres, we fast forward to today. 2023, the Gaza genocide. Israel's ongoing mass murder in the Holy Land has killed at least 50,000 people, mostly civilian women and children. Hundreds of thousands are starving. Most structures are destroyed. I should not need to go further to explain our attitude toward Israel, but there is much more that has helped us form our negative view. For instance, several of the largest security breaches in U.S. history were perpetrated by Israeli spies or men the Mossad had bribed to turn over sensitive U.S. data, including nuclear and aerospace secrets. These include Jonathan Pollard, Stuart Nozette, Lawrence Franklin and James Jesus Angleton, to name but a few. There's more, but I'm out of space, and I have not even discussed Mossad involvement in the killing of JFK, the 1993 bombing of the World Trade Center, or the dancing Israeli/Mossad agents of September 11, 2001 fame. Truly and honestly, how can anyone today muster up a positive opinion of the modern-day state of Israel? Paul Angel is the managing editor of AFP.